My Bible is a little bit buried here. Let me unbury it. Things are buried. Okay. Let's open our Bibles to Philippians. Book of Philippians. And then tonight we're going to focus in on one word. It's one of those words that is used in God's word that's rarely used outside of God's word in the same sense that it means in God's word, if that makes any sense. It will in a minute. Okay, so but we're going to be very careful as we read and study together, starting in Philippians 3, verse number 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, where the Bible says, "For our conversation is in heaven." Our conversation is in heaven. Now, why should we? I'm going to have to go back and review some things for context here. Why should we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Why should we count those things that pertain to our old life as dung? Why should we carefully shun the enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ, who would have us to live after fleshly pursuits rather than spiritual pursuits? Because our conversation is in heaven. Now, the objective here, the idea here, is that our manner of life should be governed and controlled by the resurrection life that we will enjoy when we reach the other side. That we should not have one manner of living, thinking, acting, and dealing with men down here, and then a completely different way of doing things once we leave this world and go to heaven. It shouldn't be a great big changeover like that. Conversation doesn't just mean what you talk about. It can be included, but it's not limited to that. Conversation in the Bible is the word that means and I think I put this in your notes there, the general course of manners, of behavior, or of deportment. In other words, in the Bible, conversation is the way we live our lives. Now, the Bible says we are not only to have a heavenly inheritance. We talked about that in previous lessons, but we are supposed to have a heavenly conversation. Okay, we have a heavenly inheritance. We have a heavenly conversation. That is, my manners, my behavior, my deportment is not to be dictated by earthly things, but is to be dictated by heavenly things, if that makes sense to you. All right, so tonight we're going to run through the New Testament and see what the scriptures have to say about this matter of our conversation. So let's look first of all at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. As we learned last time, the Bible calls for a changed life. The Bible evidence of salvation is a change in behavior. Ephesians 2 verse 2 says this: "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now, when God says those of us that are born again, when he refers to the born again Christian, he speaks of the course of this world as something the Christian took part of in the past. When he speaks of the prince of the power of the air dictating behavior, he said, well, for the child of God, such took place in the past. When he said there was a spirit in an individual that made them disobedient, he said the control of that spirit was in the past. Why is it that so many preachers and Christians today want to make God a liar and say, oh no, it's the present? That's not the Bible. The Bible says you used to be following the lusts of your flesh. You used to be fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You used to be the children of wrath. And that course of action is summed up in the word conversation. Now, the Bible clearly says the same man has a manner of life, a pattern of behavior, a general course of action, okay? But it's not the one that he had before he got saved. It is no longer the rule. It is no longer the controlling influence. You know, I'm so afraid that our churches are filled with people who have been converted intellectually, but not in reality. They have assented to the facts of the gospel, but they have never surrendered their heart to the power of the gospel. And that is evident because there is clearly no distinguishable past life and present life as there ought to be. And it ought to be clearly seen. All right, so look what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse number 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay, so look, here's a conversation, but what is it called? Here's a manner of life, but what is it called? It's called the former conversation. It's something that a man put off when he came to know Jesus Christ as Savior. So it's clear from the Bible that conversation has to do with the entirety of how a person lives. And it's also clear from the Bible that how one lives after they are saved, it is going to be markedly different from how they lived before they got saved. All right, Galatians chapter 1 is next. Galatians 1 and verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted, past tense, the church of God and wasted it. Okay, suppose Paul came to town and threw a bunch of Christians in jail and persecuted a group of believers, and then had a few saints put to death on Friday. And after doing all that, he said, oh, and by the way, if you'll come back Sunday, I'll be preaching about how Jesus changed my life. Would you believe him? Okay, who would want to even hear him? What credibility would he have if he talked about his former life, but was still living just like he lived before he supposedly met Jesus? You wouldn't believe him. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's not entirely the fault of Hollywood that you can't give out gospel tracts anymore. It's not entirely the fault of the news media and atheists and Satanists that you can't get lost people to come to church. Oh, yeah, sure, they do play a part in it, but the primary difficulty that we face today is the rotten lives and hypocrisy on the part of those who claim to be Christians. The world wants to see a difference. They want to see a change, and when they don't, they know you don't possess the genuine article. If you are not being persecuted by the world for your faith is not evident to the world, okay? All right, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 7 is next. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 7. The Bible says here that God delivered just Lot. From he delivered him from the destruction, from the fire that fell upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Okay, do you know what God calls the manner of life that is lived by those who do not love him and do not believe on him? He calls it filthy. Okay, so think about that. If you asked me for a drink of water, and I said, well, here's water, but, you know, before you drink it, I'm going to put some mud in there. I'm going to put some trash in there. I'll put some poison in there. Then I'll scrape some stuff off the bottom of my shoe. We'll put that in there. If I handed you that glass of water, you'd say, that's filthy. I'm not drinking that. Well, this world offers you a manner of life that is complete with dirty and vile and filthy and profane and abusive and wicked living of every variety. And they say, here, drink this. Okay, their thoughts are vile. Their language is vile. Their approach to relationships is vile. Their attitude toward God is vile. And filthy and profane and abusive and wicked. I mean, they say, come on, drink it up. We're really living. We're really living. God said, why would you want a conversation, a manner of life that is filthy? You wouldn't drink out of a dirty glass. You wouldn't eat with a dirty fork. You wouldn't take a meal that was served to you on a dirty plate. Why would you go to the church and want a preacher that wouldn't preach against filthy living? Why would you want to go to church and fellowship with people who call themselves Christians, but whose lives were filthy? I don't understand that personally. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain, what? Conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Now, I don't care what you pursue in this world. It may be legitimate. It may not be legitimate. It may be acceptable. It may not be acceptable. It may be moral. It may be immoral. But you're going to come to a point someday in your life when you will have to realize if Jesus Christ is not in this thing, it amounts to absolutely nothing. It is totally empty. It's worthless. Waste of time. You could have no money, or you could give it all away and go live in a monastery, or you could be a millionaire. You could wake up one morning and look in the mirror and say, is this it? Is this it? Rich or poor, you could be famous, you could be a nobody, but you'll wake up one morning and say, what's the use? That life that you lived before you met Jesus, you know it. It amounted to absolutely nothing that would carry with it any value into eternity. Nothing about that old life mattered at all to the host of heaven, praising the Lord of glory. Now, let me ask you something. Since you supposedly got saved, what is any different about your life? The way you spend your time, the things you do, the desires and longings of your heart. If none of those things have changed, then what do you mean by I got saved? What do you mean when you say I've been born again? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word. Okay, so here's what we're after. God wants us to be in the world, but to be possessed of a heavenly conversation. Okay? God wants the world to be around me so that I can proclaim the gospel to that world, but he doesn't want the world influencing me. He wants me influencing the world. So there's no problem when the ship is in the sea, but when the sea is in the ship, then you've got problems. And the same thing, there's no problem when a Christian is in the world, but when that world is in a Christian, you got troubles. There's no problem when the church is in the world, but when the world is in the church, it's a mess. So God wants me to have a former conversation. That means it's over, it's done. It's one that brought him no pleasure and glory, that former life. And he wants me to have a present conversation while I'm in this world, one that brings honor and glory to the Lord. Okay, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Okay. Now, I'm not big on fashion. I don't often wear becoming clothes. But I know this. If something doesn't match, it gets noticed. It stands out that something is out of place. Another thing, if you hit every note right in a song, but one, except one, chances are pretty good that one note is going to be more noticeable than all of the other notes that you got correct. Now, God says, go to church. That's good. Sing hymns of praise to the Lord. That's good. Read your Bible. That's good. Pray. That's good. Work hard. That's good. Pay your bills. That's good. Be kind to your family. That's good. Right in the middle of all that, I can't control my temper. I have these violent outbursts. What happens on my job? All other things that were good fades into the background. And that which is not becoming the gospel of Christ, that's what gets noticed. It stands out. That's what attracts attention. So the Lord says that I am to let my behavior, my course of conduct, match in every way, match the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That would sure settle a lot of questions, wouldn't it, about what's right, what's wrong, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. If it doesn't fit the testimony that brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ, do away with it. Get rid of it. Okay, look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verse number 12, 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Notice it lists in word and in conversation as two different things there. So conversation is obviously, again, not limited to words. But from this verse, you see, people ought to be able to look at how I live, how you live, how we conduct ourselves, how we behave in a given situation, and see without reading the Bible, see without studying the word, what a believer in Jesus Christ is supposed to be. Okay? We should show the world what Jesus can do for a marriage. We should show them what Jesus can do for a father, a mother, a boss man, a working man. We should show them how Jesus can take a filthy life and a vain life and make it a clean life and a meaningful life. It should be evident in our conversation, governed by and centered upon heaven. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, your money doesn't say that. Your money says, bye-bye. Your health doesn't say that. It says, see you later. Your friends don't say that. Often they'll just bail out on you. And so, because only the Lord will never leave you, and only the Lord will never forsake you, we should stop coveting after things which we know to be temporary, things which we know we can't put our full and complete trust in. And we should rather let our conversation be governed by the sure and certain knowledge that the one thing we have in this world that we can count on now and forever is the abiding presence of a loving God. Amen. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. All right, 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Okay, so you see, I walk among lost people, but I am to live so that lost people see that I am not under the controlling influence of the lusts of my flesh like everyone else around them. But there's a kind and loving and gracious and merciful and clean and pure and holy God in heaven who is governing my conversation. That's what they should see. That's what they ought to see. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Okay, so again, you see there's the word and your words and conversation are two different things again. Okay, conversation is not what you say. He says here, without the word, but by the conversation. It's your manner of living. It's your way of life. Verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. All right, so the Bible makes it very, very clear. People want to see your Christianity in evidence, and God wants them to see your Christianity in evidence. You say, well, will that make them all get saved? No way. You say, will that turn them all to Jesus? No, it won't. But it will please God, and it will keep you from being somebody's excuse for going to hell. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, that proves this. It says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Okay, so it doesn't matter how you live. Unsaved people are going to criticize you if you are a Christian. But the Lord says, I want you to live so that when they accuse you, it's not true. And so you can't stop them from speaking against you. You can't stop them from saying bad things about God's people. You can't stop them from trying to tear down the gospel witness. But you can live so that when they say those things, they have got to lie, because the charges they're making and the accusations they're making just are not true. Jesus stood before Pilate. Pilate heard all the accusations. And then he said, I find no fault in this man. See, that's the objective. I cannot live in this world without men accusing me, without men condemning me, without men speaking evil of me. It's just not possible. It happened to Jesus Christ. But here's what I can do. This is what God wants me to do. He wants me to live so that the charges are false. And when I live in this present evil, ungodly world as a clean, pure, holy, righteous, godly, decent individual, that brings pleasure to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that brings evidence so that all may behold that Jesus Christ has done a genuine work in my life because that's not the way I used to live. That's not the way I used to conduct myself. That's not the type of activity, behavior, language, and so forth that once characterized my life. All right? And what made the difference? It was Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ. Now, I hope that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you are not going to be saved by your good works. So don't for a second misunderstand what I'm saying, what I've said tonight. I am not in any way suggesting that your good works will play a part in getting you to heaven. But I'm just reading you what the Bible says about your conversation. And it's pretty clear that if you are going to heaven, there will be some indication thereof in your life. There will be an old life that is not yours anymore, and there will be a new life that is yours that you didn't produce, but that was produced by the indwelling Holy Spirit ministering to you the mind of Christ and the love of God. And you will, praise the Lord, be different. That's what God wants to do. He wants to take an old, vain, useless life and make it a life that results in his getting praise to his name. And he surely is worthy of it. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for again showing us the importance of living a life that others can see. When they look at us, they can see that our Savior, Jesus Christ, has made a change. And Lord, we pray that you help us to purge out any of our old ways, any of our old vain habits or wicked ways, and just not let them be a part of our lives or in Christ anymore. Lord, that we may honor you, that we may glorify your name, that we may draw people to you by our manner of living. Lord, we see the importance of this, and we pray, Lord, you'll help us to not forget it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.